are now about to witness the strength of geek knowledge.
I geek out about TV shows. I geek out about music. Star Wars, of course. Fantasy stuff, Lord of the Rings. Star Wars, of course. God geek.
This is it. Another episode of the God Geeks podcast, the place where you get Theologia, God language, and you also get droid language. All the beeps and boops of R2-D2 are spoken here, and we also talk about Christ and Him crucified. I am your co-host and producer. My name is Bill Brimer, and this is my main man,
James Cleland.
And I'm at Bill Brimer on Twitter. He is
at the James Cleland.
He's the only one.
Yep.
And this week on the God Geeks podcast in Jedi Mind Tricks, we talk about orthodoxy, confessional Lutheranism, which is redundant, the actual state of American Christianity. And then in This Week in Geek, we get into Homer, James Joyce, and
Cormac McCarthy.
Sutri. Yeah. So here it is. We're going to launch right into it. Jedi Mind Trick.
I don't believe it.
That is why you fail. You must unlearn what you have learned.
It is Jedi Mind Tricks, the part of the show where we get into theological happenings and theological things, things we're wrestling with. And James, you have a subject that might get us started off. And who knows where we'll go from there. But I'm just going to throw it to you, James, and just hit me with whatever you got there. And I don't know really what's coming, but...
That's kind of fun, right?
Right.
So I'm absolutely loving this whole seminary thing. I just devouring so much theology because it's being assigned to me, but also it's so much fun. But a question came up in class that I had that we just didn't get a chance to talk about. So maybe we can talk about it, which will help me answer that question. Three terms kept coming up in class, and that's orthodoxy, heterodoxy, and heresy. And my question is, I think I understand the definition of those. Maybe I can explain it a little bit. But drawing the line, where is the line between those things?
Mm-hmm.
I would assume it's not a fluid line. Mm-hmm. So orthodoxy, my understanding is that means right opinion. The word means that. And in a Christian sense, traditional orthodoxy would be things that are in line with the early Christian creeds. Does that sound correct?
It does. I think you could probably maybe go a little bit further in our mm-hmm.
in our particular LCMS kind of world.
I would say Lutheran orthodoxy would have to do with
confessional
the confessions.
Yeah, and the confessions too.
I mean, you can't really be a Lutheran unless you're confessional,
right?
And so that sort of a minor pet peeve of mine.
Okay.
I mean, it's not like a major pet peeve of mine.
No, but by definition, what a Lutheran...
Well, right. So you, the term confessional gets thrown around a lot for those who see themselves as more conservative or,
mm-hmm.
or if you will, more orthodox.
Sure.
And then it's sort of... which is... You can't be a Lutheran without being confessional. So... No offense to all you guys consider yourself confessional. If you're Lutheran, you're confessional.
Yeah.
Just because you have a collar on doesn't make you confessional. Just because you are a traditionalist in the sense of your preferences are the traditions
of the
church as opposed to any contemporary stuff, that doesn't make you confessional. What makes you confessional is adherence to the confessions, and the confessions make it clear about traditions and things
right.
like that.
Yeah, they
so,
do.
So it's actually not confessional if you're just a traditionalist.
Whoa.
And you're saying you're confessional, right?
Right.
It's actually not, and the same goes true. I mean, that's, a little bit of a tangent.
No, it's related.
The term missional. right?
Yeah. I hear that term thrown around a lot. Can
well,
you
it's a made
that?
Up term.
Okay, that's
but it's talking about well, what it is, why these things I think are harmful, can be harmful, mm-hmm. is they're used in a sense to divide.
Yeah,
and to say, yeah. I'm more confessional than you are. Well,
or I'm more orthodox.
You can't be
than
more
you
confessional. Or you either are or you aren't. It's yeah. like being pregnant.
It's almost
you
like saying, I'm more Christian than you are.
Well, that's exactly.
And that is a problem.
Well, and the same thing,
statement.
Same thing with missional, too.
Yeah.
So it's we're the ones that are doing mission as opposed to the ones that aren't doing mission. Well, you don't understand anything about mission if you think you're the one that's doing it.
yeah,
and
that's
so,
true.
You know, so there's a lot of terms that get thrown away and a lot of camps develop from it. And it,
yeah.
and it's like, well, are you in this camp? Are you in that camp? And it's just, if everybody were just to be honest about it, it's satanic. It's a
yeah.
way
yeah.
for Satan to get in there and
divide
up the body of Christ and pit it against each other. When that's the last thing that we need to be doing. You can't be a Lutheran if you're not confessional, and you can't be a Christian if you're not missional, because the Spirit dwells in you
yeah.
and causes both you to embrace the Scriptures and their true meaning and to do mission, do the will of God, these things, you
yeah.
know, by the preaching of the gospel
yeah.
And all those deals. So. Pardon me, I got off on...
No, this is what I like to do on this show, though. I get you on this.
It's sort of like poking a tiger there.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't mean to sort of get off on a tangent there, because I think it's a great... I do think, too, you don't hear the term heterodox, if that's even how you say it.
I don't know.
heterodoxy as much. What you hear is heresy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's heresy... is an overused word, I think.
Okay.
And it's another one that's, I mean, there are heresies,
of course,
you know, and the confessions address an awful lot of those.
Right.
You
correct.
Know?
Paul addressed them too in the epistles.
But I mean, to going back to your, yeah,
yeah,
right. Right. It's really the reason that most of the epistles were written.
Yeah.
Was to address certain issues that had come up that were contrary to orthodox, if you will, ancient Christianity, you know, apostolic Christianity, the apostles, the
yeah.
ones, what were they teaching? Well, we know what they were teaching because we have the Scriptures
yeah.
and we have the four Gospels and we have Paul's writings and we have other writings. You know, you have this homologomena, antilegomena sort of distinction
right.
there,
right.
but we know what the early church
right.
taught. It's written down for us in the New Testament.
Yeah.
And the beauty being Lutherans is that we have these beautiful writings from the Reformation, which a lot of church, like I have a friend who's a pastor, it's a Church of Christ pastor, and by the way, a heck of a lot better Christian than I am. I mean, just a really good guy, like a really solid family man, like
yeah,
hardworking,
yeah.
like what, you know. But he's Church of Christ, so he has to run on that treadmill. And I'm Lutheran, and I don't. I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding. But we've had discussions about it, and he has said, I wish we had writings. I
yeah.
wish we had what you have,
yeah.
because
it's
we
helpful
don't.
For me
and
right now.
One church is teaching this, and the other church
yeah.
is teaching that, and
yeah.
the other church is teaching that. And the beauty with the confessions is we go, look, this is what we believe the Scriptures are saying, you know, the arguments that are laid out here 500 years ago are what we believe, and we have these in writing,
right.
and so you cannot by definition be a Lutheran and not be confessional. And so by that standard, if you are a confessional Lutheran, then you are Orthodox, because we believe that is what the early
right,
church
right.
taught. So that was a very long way of me saying,
yeah. No, that's super helpful.
I think it's helpful to extend it beyond the creeds, but I think in general, a creedal Christianity is in general Orthodox Christianity.
Right. And one of the cool things that came up in class was, well, you have a friend, you said Church of Christ, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Holy Spirit does what the Holy Spirit does. If there's something that is heterodoxy, it's not going to negate.
Well, let's talk about
salvation.
What that means. What is heterodoxy?
Well, I guess you could probably say unorthodox or veering from orthodox.
Yeah, not
full-on heretical, you know, attacking right. so, deity so of Christ the, or anything like that.
The three sort of Cliff Note definitions, which people can look up on Google, mm-hmm. Orthodox would be creedal Christianity, right. essentially. Heterodox would be something that is a variance or mm-hmm. Veers away from that mm-hmm. creedal Christianity. And the heresy is something that's completely against
right.
Christian
right.
thought, you know, creedal Christianity.
Yeah.
So making those three yeah. definitions sort of
right.
Useful.
And so like when Paul was addressing like the church in Corinth, who was definitely veering off of where they should be,
uh-huh.
he still called them church and Christians and
right.
you know, brothers,
of course, yeah.
sisters. And that was just enlightening me. So
yeah.
so this week kind of what
the first
I did
step is to not remove them from
right,
the
right.
body of Christ.
Reformation's
yeah.
from
yeah.
within inside
yeah.
the body of
well,
Christ.
Well, I think
yeah.
that's the danger in we have brothers whom I love
mm-hmm.
who are combative about theological issues and they're passionate about it. And what can happen is the word heretic or heresy can be thrown around sort of
too willy-nilly.
Loosely,
yeah,
you know,
that could happen.
When it's probably more of heterodox,
yeah,
you know, like,
sure.
hey, what are you wrong here, and
right.
call them out in love, and
right.
then
right.
perhaps.
Boy, I can be reminded of that. A lot. So help,
yeah.
help me
well,
with that.
I mean, being a recovering Baptist, my Baptist brothers, I love you. Methodist, I have Methodist background.
Me too.
You know, before
yeah.
I was, before I became a Lutheran, you know, I recognize all those people as Christian brothers and sisters, and I also realize that it's not helpful at all for me to shout at them or call them heretics, or even really honestly to, it's not that I wouldn't want to engage in apologetics with them. It's
mm-hmm.
just that I don't believe that I can argue them into my point of view. I believe I can lovingly present it and
yeah.
trust God
yeah.
With it and not worry about their salvation. If they're brother and sister in Christ, they happen to share a lot of beliefs that I think are dangerous
mm-hmm.
and will enslave them to works righteousness,
mm-hmm.
will enslave them to different things. But you have to understand that you're really going to sound condescending, and no one listens to someone who's condescending. They listen to someone, there's a chance that they'll listen to anyone who speaks to them in love,
yeah.
you know, and is not just after winning one for the home team.
Right.
Right. And humility, being a huge role in that, which we all have a problem with.
Yeah. So this is good for me to hear right now, because tomorrow, I'm speaking at our high school retreat. So I'm doing the two sessions.
You're essentially preaching.
Yeah. I'm preaching
all weekend.
Yeah.
To high school kids.
Yeah. From a diverse background.
What a beautiful blessing to be able to, wrestle in the Word of God
yeah.
With them
yeah.
and have them hear some things that is going to, what I love is, the gospel. It's honestly, it's so offensive.
It can be.
And
it is.
It absolutely
it just
is.
Yeah.
It's offensive because our natural inclination is to worship death,
mm-hmm.
not the resurrection.
Mm-hmm. We're obsessed
and,
with death.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and that's, and sin is just death saying, I'll be there, and
yeah.
I'll be there soon. So anytime you come in and proclaim forgiveness of sins, which is actually a proclamation of the resurrection
yeah.
rather than death, you always have what I like to describe it as, especially if it's not something that's heard very frequently or ever been heard before,
mm-hmm.
When a dog hears a sound that he's never heard before, his head kind of cocks to the
mm-hmm,
side.
Mm-hmm.
That's the look you get
yeah.
in those circumstances, the circumstances you're going to be in,
yeah.
because there will be kids who've heard the gospel there, and it's.
I sure hope so.
You know,
Christian school.
I
know they're hearing it.
Well, here's the
but
thing.
But something about a retreat when you're pulled away, different surroundings. You kind of hear it,
yeah,
a little differently, maybe.
I think one of the what you've already done and what I've already done actually here, just sort of being genuine and authentic and honest about saying, I've had the wrong idea about Christianity before in my life. And presenting this truth in through that lens is powerful to people because it's not something being lorded over them. It's something you come to them in humility and going, man, I wish I would have known all those years ago.
And that's kind of my story I'm going to be telling tomorrow is a little bit of a story around that. Which,
well, give me the Cliff Notes version if you would.
Oh,
I'd love to hear it.
This is a hard one to talk about at times. It's probably good for me to, you know, practice right now.
Sure.
So my original getting pulled into ministry was I was at Texas A&M and I was going to study nautical archaeology. That was my thing. I'd seen Indiana Jones and I wanted to be Indiana
Jones. Of course.
Jones. Yeah. And I thought, oh, you can be Indiana Jones underwater.
You missed the whole Star Wars galaxy.
Yeah, that wasn't going to happen.
By
long,
many
long
millennia
time
so.
Ago. So I was totally on board with that. But then I kind of got some medical issues that happened, IBS and some other stuff. I was like, you can't run to a bathroom when you're underwater and, you know, doing archaeology and whatnot. And it just crushed me because my whole identity was around that. I really wanted to do that. But the day that I kind of decided I need to change majors, I was going through the student center and they were having a camp fair, right? And someone just pulled me aside and go, hey, you should come do this camp. And I'm like, well, tell me more about it. And it was a Christian camp for children with learning differences. I'm like, well, that sounds interesting. So that's what I just literally got pulled into ministry. It was not on my radar to do.
I almost feel like so often when we use the term Christian, there ought to be air quotes. We ought to say air quote Christian,
right?
Because you don't know really.
Well,
you know what?
And
getting?
That's kind of what I learned was I worked at that summer camp for a couple years, 4 years actually, and then kind of left and went off to Georgia to find a job. But while I was gone, I found out through the grapevine that two campers that were at the camp died. Basically at camp. It just crushed me and it crushed this other guy I worked with.
Yeah.
And you know, our identity was around, we had been doing it right. We had been teaching them how to be good Christians, teaching them all the stuff they should do.
Yeah.
And apparently we didn't do it good enough because, you know, kids got hurt and yada, yada, yada. And my buddy, ran off to kind of drink his problems away and got in a car wreck.
Right, really internalize it and personalize it.
I mean, his identity was crushed and it led to his death.
Wow.
He got in a car wreck after
Tragic.
Going out drinking and that crushed me.
Sure.
And kind of crushed the camp in a lot of ways too. And the camp ended up closing and rebooting with more of a gospel-centered message. And I was like, oh, I should go back into it. So I actually moved back to Texas and got re-involved in the camp, and again, thought I was doing the right thing, but took the mentality of, okay, kids, here's the gospel, you know, day one, day two. Now let's move on to the
right.
important
let's
stuff.
Let's get past the, yeah.
And, you know, it just, my identity was not in Christ. My identity was in doing things for Christ, and that's what makes me a better Christian. That's what, I was trying to earn favor with God, and...
Yeah, the two kinds of righteousness thing.
Totally.
In your mind.
Yeah.
Climbing that ladder.
Yeah, climbing and teaching kids how to climb the ladder. And, and I did that for years until a camp situation again that just kind of came crumbling down around me and my entire identity. I had worked for 15 years to become an executive director of camp, and I finally was at the age of like 33. And I'm like, whoa, this is amazing. And through no fault of my own, the camp came crumbling down, and it was just a bad situation. And here I am, jobless, with a newborn baby, and luckily, by the grace of God, at the exact same time, was being re-exposed to confessional Lutheranism and a proper distinction between law and gospel and two kinds of righteousness and doctrine of vocation and all the things that was like, whoa, why have I not been?
It just
set me free.
Super free.
Super free. And I can't shut up about it now.
Yeah.
and that set me on the path
towards seminary.
I'm so happy.
It's interesting that you said earlier that the Spirit does what the Spirit does.
Yeah.
I sense a wave of good theology being through different resources, you know, online and in certain contexts, sort of in the whole American cultural reality that Christianity is much more marginalized now. It's not mainstream. Mm-hmm. People don't go to church. People mm-hmm. don't, and they think they know what Christianity is. And it's really neat to see a wave of really actual Lutheran theology being talked about openly and mm-hmm. people hearing it for the first time. Yeah. Our friend Daniel Price has said
I've
to
been
me,
watching his videos
has
with,
said to
oh,
me
man.
Before, you know, what when he and you know when he said this, it I loved it because, you know, what he said is evangelicals are the mission field. You know, because there's so many Christians have bought so much bad theology and they're enslaved to it. He said evangelicals are the mission field. My take on that is there are so many Christians who sleep in and live in the prison of works righteousness and bad theology. And
I go there still sometimes.
And good theology, watching good theology cause people to have that dog turn in the head noise. You know, posture is,
you know, it's so much fun getting to do that with students. Just expose them to the gospel again and again and again.
Yeah.
Or the Holy Spirit do it through me, of course. Like even today we were talking about the Odyssey and Odysseus, and we got on a tangent about the different gods and things. And
we're going to get into that in This Week in Geek.
Perfect. I'll save it. Yeah. But, you know, it turned into a conversation about how, you know, Christ is no Greek god.
Right.
Complete opposite. And we still have that Greek mentality. What do we got to do?
Yeah.
What do we got to do to please this God, or he might get angry at me?
The gospel, that's why I say the gospel is offensive.
Yeah.
It's such incredibly good news.
Yeah.
It's too good to be true.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And temples get torn
down.
That
it could all be done for you by God himself and his son, Jesus Christ.
What am I supposed to do then?
Come on. What about me?
What about me?
Yeah.
Man, I still ask that every day.
What about Christ? How about
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
You know,
cool. Great conversation.
Yeah absolutely. That's Jedi Mind Tricks. And we're going to roll right into This Week in
C-3PO has got to be the real nerd.
It's against my programming to impersonate a deity.
Darth Vader was a cool character too, although he was the evil one.
I find your lack of faith disturbing.
All right, This Week in Geek. And we're going to get lit geek today. We're going to talk about literature.
Yeah. Well, let me just say, I mean, we're probably not going to talk Star Wars
in this week in geek
this particular week.
Yeah.
So let me just say this. I love that Wookiee. Okay, go
ahead.
I love
that Wookiee. All right. I love this new Wookiee you have, by the way.
It's so
geeky.
I love that.
So I mentioned
I have a 2 foot tall
Wookiee. 2 foot tall Wookiee in here.
You know,
well,
in my studio, I have an 8 foot tall cardboard thing of Chewbacca.
Okay, so we're talking Star Wars already.
Yeah.
Bring it back. So the Odyssey. I mentioned the Odyssey during Jedi Mind Tricks, and you said that you've got a tie-in to the Odyssey with what you've been reading lately.
Yes.
I want to hear this.
This is fascinating because last week we talked about how my new
audiobooks.
My new geek thing is audiobooks.
Yeah.
And I am consuming
isn't that great?
I'm consuming novels at a much more rapid and actually beneficial pace than I ever have. And I honestly, if this is just sort of my own personal struggle, I'm not projecting this on anybody else. I got so stressed out by watching news coverage and
me too.
Social media and a lot of the different stuff with the election and all this other stuff that's going on right now, that I actually didn't realize how stressed out I was. Mm-hmm. Until I removed myself from social media and the news and everything for a couple of days and just started consuming audiobooks and novels.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I'm news free for like 2 weeks now, and I have never been happier.
Well,
honestly.
You sent me that article about
there's an
going
article.
On a news
yeah.
Fest.
From back in 2013.
And then
I
took that article and we read it in my current events
class.
We'll
have to show that in the show notes.
Yeah.
so that people can look at the article.
Yeah.
It's about how news is is actually a lot more harmful to you than you realize, like the 24-hour news
cycle.
Yeah. But anyway,
yeah.
That's such a total tangent from the Odyssey.
Yeah, okay.
So I've been consuming so many of the books that I've wanted to read and just never got around to.
Yeah.
And I am on a, like, you know how you binge on Netflix?
Uh-huh.
I'm on a Cormac McCarthy audiobook binge, and he is beyond brilliant an author.
Oh, if I could write like him, the things I could do.
So within the last week, I read the book that, well, let me just say the three books.
Okay.
Since Blood Meridian, which we talked about last week, I was able to get through The Road.
Yeah.
Which I am still
dealing
with. And then Child of God, which is a really quick book, and it's really dark, super dark.
Really?
Now I am on his classic from 1979, Sutri. And it's about a guy in Tennessee who lives on the river, and he encounters all these different characters. And here's the thing: it's crazy because it's been compared to and is compared to Ulysses,
right?
By
James Joyce,
yeah. Which is tied into
the Odyssey,
and this long epic. I mean, it's a mammoth book. Sutri is
okay,
but it is one of the funniest, most entertaining, and there's sad parts. I'm maybe halfway through it, and
okay.
It's amazing. Some of the funniest situations and dialogue you'll ever come across, in my opinion. It is reinforced. I've just yet to read a bad book by Cormac McCarthy.
Yeah. You're not the first person who's told me that.
Right.
Just, you can't miss with him.
So this is the fifth book of his that I've read. And so far I love this one so much that I can't imagine not wanting to read it again and go back and hear it again. But it to me, it's an epic like Ulysses or the Odyssey.
Yeah.
And you know, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? It's based on those things. But you could take Sutri and some of those guys from Oh Brother,
just,
Where Art Thou? They're great characters. I mean, that's the depth and
okay.
beauty of the characters. They've got just crazy characters in there that are...
Yeah.
But you can tell... I mean, they're like real people to you after if you've lived with them, you know, because it's such a long book and there's so much going on. So anyway, that's my literary
cool
geek out.
Remind me about that in 4 years when I have time to read again.
Right. Yeah. We'll do the audiobook thing, man.
Go.
I think you already do.
Yeah,
but.
I do. When I go to bed at night, I listen to audiobooks.
Yeah.
Right now, I told you I was listening to The Passage. I think that was like 5 episodes ago I mentioned that. I'm still on it. It's such a long book.
Yeah.
Trying to work through that series again. And it's very much an Odyssey also.
Right.
Post-apocalyptic Odyssey, but still.
Yeah.
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 Cool.
Cool. Well, that's This Week in Geek. We're looking forward to, again, a couple weeks from now, Westworld's coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Fear the Walking Dead coming back. I'm sorry. Fear the Walking Dead's on now. The
Walking
Dead's
coming
back at the end of October. So we'll get into a lot more television
in
the coming weeks. But we wanted to do some novel stuff and talk about
novel stuff.
Yeah. Oh, pun intended. And that's it for the God Geeks podcast.